Looking at the effects of nitrogen fertilization is important for a few reasons. With the increasing cost of nitrogen fertilization and narrowing profit margins for cattle and hay producers, it's important that the nitrogen fertilization regimes are set such that they optimize pasture performance, both looking at the maintaining yields, but also from the standpoint of pasture persistence. And so it's important when looking at these two objectives of both maintaining yield and maintaining pasture persistence, it's important to understand the effects of nitrogen fertilization on growth and canopy assimilation as a part of that. What we'll be looking at this morning is a study that we did down in Florida that with the objective of evaluating the effects of nitrogen fertilization on the regrowth dynamics and canopy assimilation of Tipton 85 Bermuda grass. This was conducted just outside Gainesville, Florida at the University of Florida Beef Research Unit during the summer of 2006. It was conducted on established Tipton 85 pasture. There was an initial application prior to staging for the experiment of 50 kilograms per hectare of 10-10-10. That's on a NP205K2O basis. And then subsequently, after staging, there were four treatments applied of 0, 45, 90, and 135 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per cutting cycle. This was done in four replications in a randomized complete block design, resulting in 16 6x6 meter plots. The harvest sampling was done on a 1x4 meter sample with a 10 centimeter stubble height. This was done every 28 days, so there was a 28-day interval between cuttings, and there were four cycles that were measured per season. The wet weight of the entire sample from that harvest strip was taken, and then this was subsampled to obtain the dry weight for that harvest. For growth analysis, we looked at a 20 by 20 by 20 centimeters, that's 20 by 20 in terms of ground surface area and then 20 centimeters deep into the soil. And we took those cores on a weekly basis during the second and fourth cycles of that season. And the biomass was separated into leaf, stem, rhizome, and root. In terms of canopy assimilation, we looked at the carbon exchange rates using the LI6200 with a canopy chamber that was built in Gainesville for measuring canopy photosynthesis. It measures an area of approximately 1 by 1/2 meter area, and this was also done on a weekly basis during the second and fourth cutting cycles. We applied five different light levels, so we basically shaded it at different light levels so that we had full sun and then four shades going all the way to dark so that we could get an indication of the light response curve. These measurements were then used with PROC nonlinear regression based on an asymptotic exponential function to regress the light response curve for the canopy in order that we could then compare what the carbon exchange rate would be at PIR equals 1500. That way we could have a more equal comparison between canopies, since the light levels were not entirely, they weren't always uniform the whole time. So looking at the monthly harvest, we see that applying nitrogen did increase yield, and what I'd like to do then within the next few minutes is to look at what's happening during the time between these two harvests and these two harvests. This is the second cutting cycle, is the time between these two, and then the fourth cutting cycle between the 14th September harvest and the 12 October harvest. So what we're talking about in terms of the growth analysis is basically tillers. That's where most of the growth is coming from. You do have, of course, the residual stubble mass that's there, but mostly what we're talking about is this right here. Tillers coming up from nodes, and so that's basically what we're looking at in terms of the growth analysis that I'll be talking about today. Tiller mass, you can see that during the second cycle we see here, that applying nitrogen, of course, increased the tiller mass. This was not unexpected. We would expect that to happen, though there was not much difference between the nitrogen levels that we applied. So that was a little bit surprising. If we look at the fourth cycle, we see what appears to be a little bit more separation, but again, there were no significant differences between these trends, though you do still see that there was a significant difference between nitrogen application or no nitrogen application. In terms of tiller number, you can see that there's the relationship here is a little bit confusing. There's no clear increase or decrease in tiller number with respect to nitrogen application, either in the second cycle or in the fourth cycle. In terms of explaining what the increase in tiller mass, we wanted to look at tiller number to see, well, is this what's affecting it? Are there more tillers? And we don't see any evidence of that here. In terms of leaf area index, we see that there is indeed an increase in leaf area index with respect to nitrogen fertilization, though again, there's not much of a separation between the different rates. This is true for both the second cycle, and we actually do get some separation between the rates for the fourth cycle with respect to LAI. You can see here that the 45 is different from both the zero and both of the higher treatments, though the higher treatments, there's no difference. Now, how does this sort of fit together? Well, in terms of looking at leaf area per tiller, this would give us an indication of, well, where is this leaf area coming from? And as a matter of clarification, you can see that if you look at the trends from early in the season early in the cutting cycle to later, you can see that the trends here, in general, though there's a little bit of confusion on this date, this sampling date, in general, the trends are moving up here, and so we can see that there's a difference between the high rates versus either the 45 or the 0 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in terms of leaf area per tiller. And by point of clarification, this is not due to increasing leaf number, though the data are not shown here. We do have other data that indicate that the leaf number per tiller did not increase or decrease depending upon which nitrogen treatment you applied. That was fairly consistent across nitrogen treatments. It's a little bit more clear looking at the fourth cycle in terms of leaf area per tiller. You can see some separation here between the treatments. And it's important to pay attention to this separation as we look at the canopy assimilation in just a moment. You'll see a very similar trend, and that's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of a mechanism behind this. For canopy assimilation, you see with the expanding canopy, you have an increase and then a somewhat leveling off as as full light capture, as you're approaching full light capture. Again, no significant difference between nitrogen treatments for the second cycle, but there is a significant difference between no nitrogen and applied nitrogen. During the fourth cycle, again, we see a little bit more separation, and this is what I want to kind of talk about a little bit. If you remember from the leaf area per tiller, it had a very similar trend in terms of the separation between the highest nitrogen treatments, the sort of lower level nitrogen treatment, and then the 0 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare being a lot lower. And so based on this, I wanted to look at, okay, well, we think that it's actually, rather than being an effect on the leaf level photosynthesis, that we think that it's more an effect on that the increase in canopy assimilation is more due to LAI. And as you see, the carbon exchange rate plotted with respect to LAI does follow what we would expect in terms of an asymptotic exponential curve. Fairly well. There are a few outliers there, but and so this is a strong indication that indeed that is the mechanism. So we've seen then that applying nitrogen increased yield, increased LAI, leaf area per tiller, and canopy assimilation. And based on the fact that the leaf number per tiller didn't change, we're arguing that leaf expansion and elongation increased the leaf area per tiller. And that this in turn, this increase in leaf area then was the cause behind the increase in canopy assimilation. So with that, I will take any questions that you happen to have. I guess everyone's hungry.
Yeah, I did warn you about that.
You did warn me about that. Sure. You mean when it's cloudy out? That's the problem. We can't measure when it's cloudy out. That's part of the challenge of doing it. We only measured on days when it was sunny, so we had to go out multiple days. If it was a cloudy week, we had to go out multiple days to get full sun. We joked about trying to come up with some contraption to put up above a strong light source to make it a lot easier if we could do that, but we had to depend on clear skies, at least clear enough to get it in between. Yes?
Yeah, you showed a picture of the tillers and there were some of the dry and dead leaves there.
Yes.
I wonder if the increase in yield and LAI, the area per tiller and canopy assimilation can be counterbalanced negatively by excessive amounts of dead material and lower grazing efficiency if it'll harvest it right.
That would definitely be an effect, I would think. The Tifton 85 is primarily grown for hay production, and so there's less of an issue there than there would be with a grazing situation. But you're correct. I mean, that would potentially be a problem. Yes. Right.
They weren't dramatically different, but they were substantially different. What do you think about that?
Between the second cycle and the fourth cycle? Well, you're seeing there a bit of a seasonal effect. There are a couple different things that we've thought about, and we unfortunately did not have soil probes in the ground because we're thinking that, later in the season in Florida, it tends to be a lot drier. And so we're thinking that that might have been a drier effect, that the soil was a little bit drier later. But unfortunately, we didn't have the soil probes to definitively say that's the case. This year, we did actually put in, we just finished a second year of sampling, and that year we have the soil moisture data. Unfortunately, this past year was rainier than it was last year, and so again, we don't have a strong confirmation of that. But that was offered as a possibility. There have also been some studies that have shown that Bermuda grass, Tifton 85 Bermuda grass, is in terms of partitioning will change its partitioning with respect to the photoperiod, and so it's also possible that there might have been some photoperiod effects in terms of partitioning to rhizomes or other things like that, and. So hopefully we'll be able to sort that out in the future. Any other questions?
Yeah.